Good adventures, everybody. I'm Melissa Bonzak, and welcome to episode 119 of Books Cubed, the show where I chat with authors you should be reading. Today, I'm chatting with Allison Spooner. I discovered her on TikTok thanks to something really interesting that she said. So we're going to start. She has written a book, a debut novel called The Lost Girl, which is a coming-of-age Neverland adventure that she just published in October. We will get to that, but I want to start first with what she talked about. I saw TikTok, 6 days ago?
Sounds about right.
Something like that. It sounds about right. Where she talked about imposter syndrome, but she didn't call it that. And I really like her take. So tell us what you said in that video.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I'm trying to get to catch on. So I'm so glad that you're asking me about it and that we're getting it out there. I would love to change the name of imposter syndrome, because a syndrome just sounds terrible. It sounds like something you just have forever, a sickness, and how we think about things is so important and how we own them. So I want to change how we talk about it to imposter tendencies. But even more than that, I would rather say sometimes I have the tendency to feel like an imposter, but I am not. So either we call it imposter tendencies, or we don't even call it anything. Frankly, we don't even give it a name. We just say, sometimes I have the tendency to feel like an imposter, but I am not. That makes it so much less permanent. It doesn't give it all the power that a syndrome or a sickness can have. And it just reframes how we think about it.
What kind of response have you gotten from people when you talk about this?
They love it when they hear it. I just need to get it out there more. I've not yet heard anyone else call it that. So that's my goal, right? I just want to hear organically, like hear somebody talking about this and just say, oh, imposter tendencies. And I would be like,
yes. Yeah. Same here. I want to hear people say, I have the tendency to feel like an imposter. Yes. And stop using that. The other phrase that I absolutely detest, it was on the tip of my tongue, and where'd it go? Aspiring. I'm an aspiring whatever. You are not. If you are working on whatever the thing is that you're doing, you are not aspiring. You are doing. That's another one that needs to go far, far away, far away. So do you suffer from the tendency to sometimes feel like an imposter?
Sometimes. I have the tendency to feel like an imposter, but I'm not. I am out there doing the thing. I have my book out in the world. I have two collections of short stories out before that. I think particularly, I use that word all the time, yet I struggle to say it every time. When I publish my short stories, my short story collections, I think that's when the tendency to feel like an imposter came up a little more often, because it wasn't a novel. That was my first experience with self-publishing, and I just wasn't feeling like a quote-unquote real author, because it wasn't a novel. It wasn't, you know, traditionally what everybody else was publishing. The response was the same. The response, you know, oh, you published a book. You know, that's awesome. I love it. The reviews were great. And not that, you know, I'm letting that reviews influence how I feel, but it helped. And I just had to, you know, tell myself the world is changing, what people read is changing, the way people publish is changing. And if this is how I want to do it, and this is the best way to get my work out there, then that's what I'm going to do.
Readers want to be entertained. They want to be told a story. They just want it to be entertaining. They don't care what form it is. It can be an audiobook. It can be a live narration. Where I used to live down in Key West, they had a storytelling competition. I don't know. It was like either monthly or quarterly. I never did it. A friend of mine did. But they just want to be told stories. They just want to be told stories. And the whole, that's another concept we need to get rid of, is the real writer. There is a huge misunderstanding, I think, between traditionally published and indie published. People see the word indie and they think fake, but it's not true. And what I've discovered as a reader is that indie books, they are not filled with any fluff. There's no padding of pages to get to a specific number that these publishers want. When I read an indie book, it takes me right into the story. It gives me the story. It gives me nothing else. And those are my favorite books. And actually, I see less errors in the last year in indie books than I do in trad books.
Yeah. I think there's a pressure for, which is a good thing, I think, for self or indie published authors to compete with the traditionally published, or at least stand next to, not compete, stand next to, I should say, at least blend in, you know, so that you can't really tell, right, which is which. And that's a standard that I think, you know, indie authors have to try even harder to hit because they're doing it all on their own. So that's awesome that we're really stepping up and doing the thing.
I have my favorite purchase that I did as an indie author when I first started publishing in 2017. How about you? What is something that you spent money on that you thought was completely worth it?
Oh gosh, I think a vague answer is everything that you would have to, that you would get with a traditional publishing company is worth spending money on for yourself. So an editor, a cover artist, different types of editors, anything like that, is worth it. And it's hard to spend money on. It's expensive. I know that. But it's all worth it for me. I would say my favorite purchase is formatting software. I use Atticus and it's totally worth it. I used to kind of hesitate about spending money on that sort of thing. But in the end, it makes it so much easier. It saves me so many headaches. It makes it so much faster. I know there are people that you can hire to do that, but it gives me the freedom to kind of take my time and do it at my own pace too. And so I think the formatting software that I bought was my best friend when I put this book out.
Yeah. And you know, and talking about being able to do it yourself, if you format yourself, if you need to make changes, you don't have to wait for somebody else to get back to you. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself. And having complete control really is the biggest thing about an indie author. Things like changing your book covers and your interiors and things like that. And yeah, my favorite purchase was Vellum software for formatting. Now your first book, like I said, The Lost Girl is your debut full novel, which came out in October. So what do you think you've learned from your first novel? It's only been a couple of months. Have you learned anything yet? Or do you need a little more time to try to figure out what you need to do next time or what you did right?
I think the biggest thing I learned from publishing anything, really, including my collections of flash fiction, was treating it like a business. It's great. You know, I write the story and it's great that it's out there and anybody that reads it, I'm thankful for. But I didn't write it just so a few people could read it. I wrote it to get it out there in the world and so that people could share it and talk about it and it could, you know, live on beyond me. And that's not going to happen if I don't market it, if I don't market myself, if I don't talk about it, if I don't do the things, again, that a traditionally published author would get from a company. If I don't do those things for myself, the story is not going to get out there. So treating my writing like a business, I think, was a huge mindset shift for me, especially because I think writers, myself included, tend to be a little more emotional about it than practical, which we need to be. But a lot of the time we're like, no, I don't want to market. I don't want to do the business side. I just want to write. I just want to put my stories out into the world. And that's great. But if you don't market them, nobody's going to see them. So especially for people that want to make it their full-time job, if you're just doing it for fun, that's a completely different story. But if you are trying to make this your gig, you have to treat it like a job and like a business.
Now you have a really great concept for your debut novel, The Lost Girl. So tell everybody about that.
Oh, sure. I'll even bring it up here. So The Lost Girl, a Neverland story, is about Peter Pan's great granddaughter. And at 13 years old, she is diagnosed with a terminal illness. And so her mother sends her to Neverland to see if it will save her life. And while she is dealing with her mortality, she also meets pirates and lost boys and fairies and all the things you expect to find in Neverland. and has adventures and everything you would expect from a young adult novel set in Neverland. So that is, it's perfect for fans of Hook. It vaguely follows the storyline of Hook. So in Hook, Peter comes home and grows up and has children. And if that hadn't happened, obviously he wouldn't be able to have a great granddaughter. So it is based on the idea that Hook came, or that, sorry, that Pan came home and grew up and had children. And so it kind of references things that happen in Hook. So if you're a fan of that movie, you'll like some of those little Easter eggs throughout the book, because that's one of my absolute favorite movies. But if you're a fan of Peter Pan in general, it's just a new twist. It keeps some of the darker aspects of Peter Pan and Neverland, but also, you know, some, it's got a dark storyline, but some fun, sweet parts as well. And no kissing. It's not a kissing book. No romance. We don't want that. But friendship and love and all those things.
Is this one that we'll see a sequel? Or do you want to say?
It will see more stories, I think. Maybe not a direct sequel, but there will be more Neverland stories.
There's a lot in that world to work with.
Yes, there really is. And a lot of characters in here that I absolutely love and would love to spend more time with. So,
and you know, that's always the best. If you are excited and want to spend more time with those characters, you know that there's people out there that want to spend more time with those characters too.
Yes, yes.
Now, do you have a mailing list for this book?
I have a mailing list in general, yes.
Okay. That's good. So we will include that in the show notes, and she'll mention it when we're done talking. So you make sure that you get on her mailing list, because if you get the first book, you may not know necessarily about the second book. Sometimes mm-hmm. Amazon or the retailers just don't let you know when there's another book in the series coming out.
Yeah, you have to be following the author, I think, to get notified that there's new books by that author. So.
Yeah,
and if not you're following not them everywhere else, you forget that you're not following them here. So there's just so many places to follow everybody, and can get overwhelming.
Yes, it can. It seriously can. Now, this is a young adult novel. Is that your favorite era in the human lifespan to write about?
It's interesting. I never really had one, I don't think, before this, because a lot of what I was focused on writing before this was short stories, just everywhere, all over the genre span there. But I think it is the time that had the biggest impact on me. Yes. And some of my favorite books are young adult kind of coming of age, like To Kill a Mockingbird. It is a time that resonates with me. And actually the next book that I'm working on that is not a sequel to this, is a completely different story. Is also a young adult, about she's 18, but it tells the story kind of her young adult life leading up to being about 18. So her teen middle school years. So that time of life.
Well, there's a lot of people, it's not just teenagers that read young adult. It is a huge genre for adults also.
Yeah. And this story, I mean, I wrote this story because it's one that I would want to read. It was by default, she needed to be young enough, you know, to kind of go to Neverland and spend time there. And that made it young adult. The next story I'm writing has a lot of nonfiction aspects to it. So it's about that specific time period in my life. So it just kind of works out that the stories I want to tell are about kind of that time period. So like you said, there are stories that adults can relate to because they're about a very emotional time in anyone's life that we'll remember even as adults looking back.
And you mentioned it's stuff that you want to read this time period. So does that influence what you set out to write, what you want to read versus what you think an audience might want to read?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think that's kind of one of the perks, like we were talking about, of being self-published, of doing it yourself. I don't like to follow trends. I don't read romance. I don't read, and not that that's a trend. People that like romance, but it's big right now. I think I haven't read ACOTAR or any of those big names that are big books that are everyone's talking about right now. And I don't write things just because they're popular. Like I get, Hook came out in the 90s and I'm just now getting around to telling the story of this story that's kind of been in my head since then. And so I didn't, when the idea came in my head, I didn't stop to think, is this popular right now? Is anyone even gonna care about Peter Pan's great granddaughter? I did. I wanted to know what happened after Hook and what would happen to his family and what would happen if a child got sick and went to Neverland. I was curious, so I wrote it. I didn't stop to think about whether it was going to be popular or not, or on trend or not.
I think that's a really good way to do it. Your book, The Lost Girl. Now, there's a lot there between his family and him and his granddaughter and all these things. When you were putting this book together, was there anything that you couldn't, that you had to take out that just broke your heart? Something that you really wanted to leave in, but either slowed down the story or took you in a direction you didn't want to go?
Yes, the prologue. So actually one of the very first things I wrote when I had this idea was a little blurb or something called The Death of Peter Pan. And it was just about his kind of his last years of life, telling his stories about Neverland to a family that actually didn't believe him anymore. So the children that actually visited that were kidnapped and taken to Neverland and Hook grew up and kind of forgot about it as well, like he did. And so he's in his last years of life and he only has one little grandkid that believes him, which ends up being Moira, Angela's mother in my story. So it's about, the prologue was about her hanging out with her grandpa Peter in his last years of life and just listening to his stories about Neverland. And it was very sweet. It's one of the first things I wrote about it. I probably, this is another reason to get on my mailing list. I will probably release it out into the world eventually. It is a plan, but my editor, well, it wasn't even my editor. It was a friend, another writer friend, who kind of is a writer, but also works in the industry, read it and suggested probably taking it out, that a lot of the information I had in the prologue could be easily moved into the rest of the book and told somewhere else. And so I took it out. And I know there are a lot of people who are very either anti or pro prologue. So it was just something I decided that she was right. And if I had been, I was already on the fence, I think. And so when she said that, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But if I was like, no, I love this and it makes sense and I need it, like it would have been a different story. But I think I was already a little like worrying about whether I needed it or not. And so when she said that, I was like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, you will get a lot of readers that will want to know that story. So I think it's a great idea to polish that up and make that a giveaway for joining your mailing list. And then it's just a natural segue right into that first book.
Yes, yes. So then you can continue to read about Moira and Angela.
You know, you mentioned short stories. So tell everybody really quick about your short stories.
Yeah, so I have two collections of short stories, flash fiction stories, so even shorter than short stories, all less or around 1,000 words. Flash in the Dark, a collection of flash fiction, and The Problem with Humans and Other Stories are both available on Amazon. Those are only available on Amazon, whereas The Lost Girl you can get from bookstores, libraries, anywhere books are available and sold. The first two I only did through KDP. So it's the only place you can get those, or directly through me. I'm happy to sell them directly to you if you reach out to me on any of the socials and I'll sign them and send them to you. But they are all genres. It was in a time period of my life where I had no idea what I wanted to write. So I just wrote everything. I entered a lot of contests that gave you a genre that you had to write in. So there's some sci-fi, there's some fantasy, there's some, a lot of them, I will say more than not, are a little dark and creepy, or have a dark twist to them. Hence the names. There are some fantasy stories in there that I might continue to build on. So in The Problem with Humans, there are three stories that are connected, or part of the same world. And I might expand on that world at a later time as well. So yeah, lots of stuff in there. If you don't always know what you're in the mood to read, you can pick one up and read any genre in about 5 minutes or so.
Oh, that's really nice. That's good to have something that you can just read quickly. And they can get them on Kindle, right? So that as you're sitting, standing there waiting for your coffee to cook, you can get one story knocked out. And Kindles, you can, because of accessibility, you can get the Kindle to read to you now too, which is lovely.
Yes.
It's the only way I can clean my bathrooms is if my book is reading to me. So, and not everything is in audiobooks because it's really expensive for people to do. So I completely understand why not everyone has audiobooks. Totally understand it. So tell everybody one more time how to find you, where your website is, and the name of your book.
Book is The Lost Girl, A Neverland Story. And you can find it wherever books are sold. Just go into your bookstore and ask them and they can order it. Go to your library, ask them, they can order it. You can find me literally everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Google me.
You have a website?
What's that?
Do you have a website?
I do. It's constantly under progress. It is AllisonSpoonerWriter.com. So I have a New Year's resolution to spruce that up. So if you get to it and it doesn't look the greatest, please forgive me. I do have goals to spruce that up in the next year or so, but I'm not hard to find on the internet. So, and then if you go to any of my social, Instagram or TikTok, I have my link tree there, and that's where you can find the link to sign up for my mailing list, which we can also probably put in the notes below as well. So lots of places to find and connect with me.
I'm going to thank you for coming on today, Allison. And hopefully everyone in our listening audience does not suffer from the tendency to feel like an imposter.
And if you do, just remember you are not.
Thanks, Allison. You'll find everything we discussed down in the show notes. Go check out her work. Thank you to Laura Lynn Hardy for writing our theme song. That's her on the vibraphone and Billy Tyke Miller on the drums. It was recorded at Mill Kids Recording in Huntsville, Alabama. And that's it for now. Until next time, go read a good book.